Good evening. My name is Bud Green, and I'm a drunk. Tells me in this book I'm supposed to introduce myself as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think I probably am. They haven't thrown me out since September 13, 1974. Although it may have been a few times they'd like to, but I'm still here. I'm going to talk a little bit and tell you how I got into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, how that 12-step affected me in my life, and how it affects me today. What is that 12-step? Jack? I'm going to tell you, I've had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, all right? And if you've been here and you worked those steps in your life and you have not had a spiritual awakening, start right over again. Don't worry about it. Just do it again, all right? That's a promise that's in this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. That's a promise in the book that it gives me. If I work those steps in my life, if I'm applying them steps in my life every day, I will have had a spiritual awakening. Now, I've never had a hot flash like Bill Wilson had. Some of us have read in the big book where Bill Wilson got that hot flash in the middle of the night and a warm breeze blowing through and everything was wonderful and he quit drinking, never drank again. I had a few of them, but they weren't from not drinking. They were because I drank too damn much. But I came here, and when I started working those steps, I really didn't think it was going to do much for me. All right? I didn't want anything to do with God in the first place, and I had the opinion that I was going to hell. I believed in God. But I was such a bad character, not that I had an ego problem, but I was so bad that I was going to fry in hell, and that was it. And so I didn't want to talk about God. I was scared to death to talk about God. What it really was, I didn't know that till later. I just didn't want to talk about it because that would just hurry me up going to hell, and I wasn't planning on that real being a lot of fun from what they tell me. I haven't been there yet, and I'm in no hurry to get there. But I started working those steps slowly in my life. And this is as a result of these steps. And it doesn't say that I have to work them right away. All right, I did work them right away. One night sitting in Serenity West when I was in rehab there, we weren't going to a meeting. We weren't going out that night. And so I read those 12 steps. So a couple weeks later when my sponsor says, what step are you working on? I said, I did those. He says, what do you mean you did those? And I told him. I said, I read them one night and I didn't have anything else to do. He says, we'll start on step one. And we did. And I got to tell you, the way I worked those steps that first time wasn't all that good, all right? I did 1, 2, and 3 with my sponsor, driving to meetings back and forth, going to meetings right after I got out of Serenity. And then they asked me to speak at a meeting, and I told my sponsor, I says, they want me to speak next week. And he says, well, and if you're going to speak, he says, you better take your 4th and your 5th step, because I led without taking my 4th and my 5th, and he said, I almost got drunk. So I didn't want to get drunk. I was done drinking. I don't want to drink no more. Whatever you people told me to do, I was doing. And so I was going to do that 4th and that 5th step. And that night on the way, we were going to Conneaut, Ohio to a meeting. A couple old-timers picked me up, and they were speaking up there that night. I told them I had to take my 4th and 5th, and a guy from Washington, D.C., who was a sponsor of the other guy, said, keep it simple. He says, you know, if you're a liar, just say you're a liar. We don't care what you lied about. If you're a cheat, just say you're a cheat, you know. If you're running around with women, we don't want the phone numbers. We just want to know you were running around with women. They ain't going to do that no more. All right. So that's how simple I kept it. And then it says in the big book that preferably you take that fifth step with the man of the cloth. All right. Because when this book was written in 1939, there were only about 40 guys that had a year's sobriety. And so they weren't too sure about this telling your whole life story to some guy that just got sober, you know. We have a habit, some of us, not being able to keep our mouth shut. And so they thought it a good idea if we went to a man of the cloth because they would understand it better. And that's why it's that way in the big book. There were no sponsors like we have today. Today it's recommended you have a good sponsor, you do your fifth step with your sponsor, or somebody you can understands what the problem is, right? And but I didn't, it said man in the cloth, and I didn't like my sponsor anyhow. Most of you have heard me talk about when we get home from a meeting, it would be out in the lawn beating the hell out of each other. We just didn't like each other. And so I had to take his fifth step because I was leading in a couple of days, and I wanted to take the fifth step and get that because I didn't want to get drunk. So I'm going by the Catholic Church up in Conneaut, Ohio, and I see the priest coming down the steps, and I whipped over to this curb and jumped out, and I asked him if he was familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, yeah, he was. I said, well, you understand what a fifth step is? And he said, I think so. And I said, well, would you take my fifth step with me? He says, sure. Come on in the church. So I know today that I took a Catholic confession. Well, I'm not Catholic. But that's what I did. And that worked. All right. I led in a couple of days, and I didn't get drunk. And that was my first fifth step. And then for several years in a row, I went to a retreat up in Derby, New York, and a little priest up there, Father Atkins, would hold a, you know, fifth step at the retreat every year. So I would do my fifth step with him, and it was really nothing like I've learned to do since, all right? And so I stayed sober that way, I don't know, probably around 10 years on that amount of fourth and fifth step. Of course, I was going to meetings, and so you're continually talking and thinking, and you know, it becomes like a part of your life, like an undercurrent in your life, those 12 steps become. And then a guy gave me a set of tapes by Joe and Charlie when they studied this first 165 pages of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And I listened to them. And that's the first time, because my original sponsor told me to read chapter 5 first, and that's what I did, and I never read anything else. I read chapter 5, and then, if, you know, the first four chapters have been important, he'd have told me about it, right? He didn't tell me to read them, so I never read them. So I had that hole in my soul that you hear so many people talk about. I'm going to meetings, I'm a general service representative, I'm leading meetings, I'm chairing meetings, I'm sponsoring people, I'm on this committee and that committee, and I'm doing all the things you're supposed to do. But I had that hole in the soul and I didn't know what it was. I really didn't know what was wrong, it just wasn't quite right, and I knew that. But after I heard Joe and Charlie and listened to their tapes, and then I got the big book out, and I started reading that, and I went to a couple of seminars with Joe and Charlie and sit down with them personally, and we went through this. And you know, I read chapter 1, I read the doctor's opinion, I read Bill's story. Now I knew what the problem was. The problem was me. See, up to that point I had thought that my problem was I drank too much. And if I quit drinking, my problem, I should be all right. Everything would be okay. And that things weren't just okay because I quit drinking, all right? Somebody's smiling, and I'm just thinking, my wife, my poor wife, that first 5 years of my sobriety, should have shot me. Because I was worse sober than I was drinking. I mean, I was mean and miserable and nasty at home, not in the meeting. Everybody loved me in meetings, right? But I was not nice at home. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know what the hell was wrong. And so I got into studying these steps, and when I found out that I was supposed to change the way I think, you know, and that's what the rest of them, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, change the way I think. And that's what I needed to do the whole time. Change the way I thought about the way I was acting, the way I was thinking. And I was trying to do that, but I didn't know why it wasn't working. So once I got that into my head, that I read the first chapter, now I understood what an alcoholic was. All right. Now the fourth and fifth step made a whole new meaning. All right. And so as I worked those steps, my life began to change. And as my life changed, I began to think better. I began to act better. And I'm not saying this is my opinion. I'm still married to the same woman. So I had to change. Because she wouldn't have put up with it much longer. But yeah, slowly it changed. All right? And slowly I changed the way I thought, and slowly the way I acted. That fear of God that I was so afraid of when I came in here left me. It became a loving and kind God that I began to understand, and I began to talk to Him. I think I said before, I went to a conference one time on how to pray and meditate. Spent a lot of money to go to a weekend conference to learn how to pray and meditate. And when I left there, I knew two things. Prayer was me talking to God. And meditation was me listening to God, and that's how much I know today about prayer and meditation. But it works, all right? I started praying, and on a regular basis. Prayer became a way of life for me. All right? Now, that serenity prayer, I said something a little while ago to somebody. I said that, you know, I used to just say, God grant me the serenity. And I didn't have to go any farther after a while. I said it so often, I tried to wear it out, it didn't work. But I would shorten it up to just say, God grant me the serenity. I'd get in the jackpot, I'd get mad at somebody, or somebody get mad at me. And instead of saying the whole prayer, that's all I had to say. And that put my mind in a frame of mind that I would calm down and ease up a little bit and not be so self-centered again. You know, it would take the center off of me. And that's what I had to learn to do, is not be so self-centered. And by applying them steps in my life, I slowly became less and less self-centered. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm still self-centered. And I wake up in the morning, first thing I think about is, God help me stay sober today. Then I think about praying for my wife who's laying next to me, but I'm first, all right? I'm still first. But it's changed my life completely. And by prayer and meditation, I've come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. That through God helping me, my life has changed, my family's life has changed, all right? And I've been able to stay sober. And anything else you want to know? I'm ready for questions.
Okay, at this point, we're going to open the floor for questions. Please be aware that questions end with question marks. Let's not get off with a bunch of comments. So it's kind of a reverse Jeopardy kind of a thing. Who'd like to be first? You must have done a hell of a job, though. Any questions?
Hi, I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bridget.
Hey, I love a good challenge. I'll have a question. Let's see. Buzz, thank you for this wonderful series, but this is the 12th step, And so could you tell us a little bit about carrying the message? And how many 12-step calls do you think you've done in your 44 years, is it?
42 years.
42.
I've done them all. I don't know, have any idea how many 12-step calls I've made. And I have no idea how many people I sponsor. At least half of them. My wife and I kid will go to a meeting where we haven't been before, and if I'm leading, invariably there'll be somebody come up and ask me to sponsor them, and so I'll get their name and phone number and so forth, and on the way home I tell my wife, I said, well, that's the last time we'll ever hear from that guy. And she says, why? And I said, well, he asked me to be a sponsor tonight, so I'll never hear from him again. You know? That's usually the way it works. Once in a while, one really wants to get sober, like I did. And I can share with them what I did. And now that I've gone with, spent some time with Joe and Charlie and gone through the big book on a regular basis, I do that on a regular basis now. And there's a couple guys in this room can tell you, they sit down with me and read the big book to me. When you get as old as me, it's hard to read, right? So they read the big book to me. Because if I tell you to read the big book, I used to do that. I'd say, okay, you go home and read chapter 5. And next week, the time I see them, I say, did you read chapter 5? And they said, oh yeah. Okay, I said, what does it say about your wife? Oh, they'll give me some cock and bull story about what it says about your wife, so I know they never read it, see. I don't trust alcoholics. And so if you read the book to me at my kitchen table, I know you have read the book. And whether you understand it or not, if I spend a little time with you trying to explain what you're reading as we go through, then that's, you know, sometimes they understand, sometimes they don't. Sometimes I don't even care, but that's how I sponsor today. That isn't the way I sponsored when I first came in. When I came in, I tried to sponsor like my original sponsor, who was a Gestapo sponsor, and I had to call him every day, and I had to do this, and I had to do that, and that just made me madder than hell, and that's one reason we ended up in so many fights, all right? It's hard to tell an alcoholic he has to do something, you know. And if you do it because you want to, it works a lot better. Did I answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Buzz.
Any other questions?
Anybody else?
Needy.
Thanks, Buzz, for sharing these last 12 weeks. My question is on this 12-step call, how do you actually approach someone that you're being called to help? Like, what kind of questions do you ask them at first, or how do you get it started there, you know, to kind of see where they're at?
Okay, if I go on a 12-step call, somebody's called, I want to make sure that the person that called me was the person that wants help. You always should take two on a 12-step call. Never go alone, because it can be very dangerous. I remember with old Charlie Reynolds one time, I used to do a lot of 12-step calls with him. And we went into Erie and we went up on the second floor of this flat. And just about the time our heads cleared the floor, the landing, the guy shot the door out from inside the room with a shotgun. Charlie says, I don't think he's ready yet, and we turn around like that. But Charlie told me that was a learning process for me, because Charlie says, I didn't talk to him, I talked to his wife. He says, don't ever do that. Excuse me. And so I've never done that yet. But when I talk to a new guy like that, if they call, I go and introduce myself, and the first thing I ask them if they'd like to quit drinking. If they say no, they don't want to quit drinking, then I turn around and walk out. No sense in me wasting my time and his time if we're just going to sit there and swap stories. Right? I'm not there to swap stories. I'm there to explain to him how he can get sober if he'd like to. And that's what I do. And we just talk, mostly I just talk about me. And if I got somebody with me, they'll talk about them. And see if the guy wants to relate, if he can relate to us. Sometimes they'll open up and they'll just talk for hours all about themselves. Other times you can't get them to say a word about themselves. But you can pick them up the next night, go to a meeting, or later that night, whatever it is. And they'll go, and eventually they'll change. But it's got to be, you can't make a drunk want to quit drinking. And I was out of Serenity West probably 4 or 5 days. And I got a phone call. They wanted me to come back down to Serenity. And I said, what for? And they said, well, we want to talk to you. And I get down there, and there's two guys from the parole office there. There's two city cops there and a state cop. And what it was one of the city cop's brothers was in trouble. And he was a Gandhi dancer on the railroad. He's a great big guy. And they didn't know what to do with this guy. But for some reason in my story, when I was in Serenity, they thought maybe I would know what to do with him. I didn't know what to do. So I told them what I did. I said, well, I went to the hospital, put him in the hospital. And they did. And he stayed sober. And as soon as he got out of the hospital and went through Serenity, and he got out, and I turned him over to my sponsor. And I think to this day, that guy still thinks I was undercover for the police department or something. Yeah, that guy would do anything I told him. All right? I called him the Mad Russian. Might be a few guys in here old enough to remember him, but he was a big brute. He was one of the original Hell's Angels, all right? And he was a huge guy. But he stays over. Last I knew, he was down in Florida designing women's jewelry. He had hands on him like that, you know. But he stayed sober, last I knew. That was about 30 years ago, last time I talked to him. But see, all I did was shared my story. And he went to Serenity, same as I did. And that's all I can do. I can't tell anybody how to sober up. You know, did I answer your question?
Ann Washi here. Buzz, when we say the last part of the 12th step, to practice these principles in all our affairs, I find that following the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, I have a whole new way of life. And do you find it easy to incorporate that new way of life into all of your affairs, whether it's work, family, society, you know, good times, bad times? Do you find it easier to incorporate that into your lifestyle now?
Well, when I said earlier that I had to change the way I thought, see, by working those steps and those traditions in my life, they became my life, they became a way of living for me. And that's what it tells us in the big book. It becomes a way of life. And those steps have become a way of life for me. So definitely, I think a lot different than I did when I was drinking. All right? I think a lot different. And, you know, God works in funny ways. This summer, some of you know, I had a little problem with my medication. I got a little goofy, and I couldn't figure out what the hell was wrong. And I was really kind of feeling sorry for myself. And I really was. And God put two new guys in my path. All right, I got two new guys to read the big book to me and answered my questions. See, by sitting there listening to them read the big book, I figured out what was wrong with me. It was the way I was thinking. All right. So, as a way of life, this way of life gets you in more ways than just reading a big book and knowing what you got to do. Sometimes God just sneaks in the back door and slaps us along the side of the head when we ain't paying attention and says, this is what you got to do, you know. And I believe that 100%. It's not the first time something like that has happened in my life. It was for a while there, I get a new guy to work with, and my wife said, what'd you do now? You know, what was I doing wrong that I had a new guy to work with? Because that's usually the reason I get a new guy, is I can see my own character defects. And it's not, I can't change it the way anybody else thinks. I can only change the way I think. But if I'm sitting talking to a new guy, and I'm trying to explain to him how you change your way of thinking, I'm probably going to change the way I think while I'm sitting there if I'm not thinking in the right direction. Did that answer your question, Diane?
Thanks, Buzz. That was an excellent message, and I've thoroughly enjoyed your time that you spent with us here. And the question that I've been told to get to, I got plenty of time, is this. How do you get rid of Binky? No. How does, or does it, the 12-step, because we have, this is a pretty important thing here that's going on in the community of AA. And another one, we need to replace the coffee guy. Can you tie the 12-step into that? Is that like a part two of the 12-step?
Well, the last part of the 12-step is exactly that. All right? And not only for Central Committee or General Service, but also this fire department. All right? Also for any community project we get into. The way you carry yourself and the way you act should be a lot different than when we were drinking. You know, even little league ball games. All right, I can remember, I hate to say this, but I tried to help my son's little league ball, coach him. After three or four times, they asked me not to come back. Because I always had a case of beer in the back of the truck, and I was drinking beer the whole time I was trying to help those kids, you know, and of course with a little beer in me, I don't talk like a gentleman and I don't act like a gentleman. So you got little kids here in Little League that aren't learning the right things, and I was asked not to come back. So see, even things like that, Alcoholics Anonymous would change that, hopefully. I wouldn't act and think like that today. This Tuesday night at the men's group, they have a reading on the third legacy. They read it every meeting, all right? My original sponsor and I started that meeting, and for different reasons, because I was going out to jail, I had to give that up. So I didn't go to that meeting for a lot of years. And now I'm going back to it again. Now they read this third legacy every meeting. All right. Before the meeting starts, they read the third legacy. And I just come from Sunday getting one of those flyers from Diane. And then General Service, you know, we've been having a heck of a time with District 31 or General Service. Nobody wants to go. Not having any activity. So nobody had a subject. I said, I got a subject. When did we start reading the third legacy? And they said, nobody knew. They don't even know where it came from. So I explained where it came from, and I explained what it was. I said, but if you're going to read it, you ought to do something about it. This group does not have a General Service representative. We do not have a Central Committee representative, and we're not doing this, and we're not doing that. And I said, if you're going to read this stuff, then you ought to be doing it. And I got a little hot because just coming from Sunday, and Paul did, I thought this, Paul did a great job on that. If you were there, he just and really got into the service work, because he's a great service guy. But service for Alcoholics Anonymous, to me, if we don't if we're not involved in service, I was in a general service representative, I think I had 4 or 5 months in. All right. It's not recommended, but that's where I was. And I was a general service representative, and I did all those things, all right? I should not have to still be doing it. You know, 42 years in, I should be able to not do that anymore. And I did that for a long time, and we need people to step up and take position. If we were talking a little bit on politics before the meeting started, but see, if we want a voice in what Alcoholics Anonymous does, then we need to get involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. You can't just sit here and soak up from a meeting, drink the coffee, and walk away and think that's going to keep you sober, because you're not contributing back to society again. You're not becoming a contributing member of society. And in order to become a contributing member to society, one of the first things we should do, in my opinion, this is my opinion, as long as I got the soapbox, I'm going to use it. If I want AA to be here, and see, it's already here for two of my grandchildren. And if I want it to be here for any of my other family, if you want it to be here in case one of your family should need it, where would it be if none of us stepped up? See, where would it be? Where would Alcoholics Anonymous to be? I sponsor a guy that went 20-some years without going to a meeting. And then one night, one afternoon, and he says he's having a little trouble with his son. His stepson is drinking, and he says, think I ought to get him an AA. And I says, well, I don't know. Is there an AA around? He looked at me. He says, well, yeah, you still go to AA. I said, how do you know? You don't know if I go to AA. I just said so. I said, you don't know. You haven't been there. 20 years you haven't been to a meeting. I said, now you got a son that needs to go to AA. What if everybody was like you? Come in, get sobered up, and go ahead and go to work and forget all about the new suffering alcoholic. Only worry about it when it's somebody that it's in your family that you want to take care of. And so we have a responsibility, I feel, to the whole world, to have this fellowship here when the new guy comes knocking on the door. And I'm glad to see you here, because I just figured out who you were. But you don't know who I am. We need to carry not only AA message, but just a message of good, clean living. If you belong to a church and join a church, you know, you can become a better church member. If you belong to Kiwanis or the Lions Club, whatever it is, you can be a better member if you're sober and practicing the principles of those 12 steps. There's nothing new about those 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. They just didn't appear in 1939. They've been around for multitudes of years. The principles have. All right? And I believe that we were just fortunate enough, we found a couple guys, Bill and Bob, were able to take those principles and put them into use, into a thing where we could use them. I'm done. You're shutting me off.
You're not quite done, Buzz. Thank you very much for this. Let's give Buzz another hand, everybody. You were absolutely terrific this 10 weeks, and the way you handled all the questions, I think that's what really brings out the spirit of your program. For me, these 10 weeks, there's only been one elephant in the room, and I really, I respect and admire you tremendously for what you do and what you've done in AA. But my question is that you referred to the Big Book, you referred to Joe and Charlie, and I just wondered, since this is all about Buzz and Buzz's program, and I think he answered the 12th step terrifically, and I almost didn't want to ask this question, but I do want to get this. So you know, I want to know why you don't use the 12 and 12.
don't you? I read it. All right. If there's a 12 or 12 meeting, and I go to the meeting, I read that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But getting ready to come here tonight, I didn't get the 12 or 12 out and read step 4.
Right.
All right. I read the big book.
Correct.
To me, Dr. Bob said, and him and Bill talked the last time, Dr. Bob said, keep this thing simple. Don't mouse it up.
Correct.
And now we got the 12 and 12, and we got the 24-hour book, and we got stools and bottles, mm-hmm. and we got the little red book. I read the little red book a lot, and we have Sobriety and Beyond, which is by Father John Doe. I don't know if you ever read that.
Yeah.
I read that a lot. I really like that book. But in fact, I read that more in the beginning than I did the big book.
Yeah.
All right. But they're all good. There's nothing wrong with any of them. But to me, if I'm talking to a room full of people and I'm a representing Alcoholics Anonymous, I want to talk about this book because this is where they should start.
Right, I agree.
You should start with the big book. And then, you know, in fact, I just told Dan the other day I got a couple of copies out of the Father John Doe book. I want him to read that, see? I want him to go through that. It's a reference to the big book is what it is. And the little red book, I read that a lot. That's a reference, and it's got marked on every page.
Right.
What page in the big book you can find that, you know?
Right.
And those are all good study guides. There's nothing wrong with that. I never went to college, but I hear they have study guides. So I think...
And cliff notes.
Yeah, I think it's good to study those things.
No, I just, my guess my question is that, you know, Bill and a group of the founders wrote the 12 and 12. I mean, it isn't like the little red book is a Hazelton material.
Right.
There's lots of different, and I give books that I have found that have helped me with the people that I sponsor, but I was under the impression that, you know, the 12 and 12, you know, the big book was written by everybody who was less than 3 years sobriety, and with 15 to 20 years of sobriety, that's when the 12 and 12 came out with, you know, Bill Wilson's experience. And I know that you shared over the time that, you know, your program morphed into something that's pretty spectacular to a lot of people from year 4 and 3 than it did when you're 17 to 20 and 20 to 40. So I just wondered why, you know, you didn't reference that as much as possible.
To me, it's a little confusing.
Okay, no, that's great. That's
the language is Bill Wilson, college-educated language.
Yeah, perfect answer.
And I just like to stick to the big book.
Thanks, Buzz. Let's give Buzz a great hand, everybody.
Do we have any announcements from the membership? Thanks, Nadine. Diane?
There are about a total of 15 committees and about 5 stalwart people that man those committees. And so the committee of one, and you have at least 2 committees. I know I'm on 3 committees. So we really need your help and support. We need some people to get out and get active, at least the third side of the triangle. Free food, come join us. We have spaghetti dinner coming up Saturday, February 25th, St. John's Lutheran Gym, 6 to 9, speaker at 8, $6 for adults, $3 for children, $1,200, a Chinese option, 50-50 drawing for proceeds, health, area, spring conference. It is April 7th, 8th, 9th at the Ambassador. Just a heads up, if you're going to attend any of the meals, you need to get your registration in by March 24th. If you're just going to attend, you can register that day. But if you want any of the meals, you got to let the hotel know, the meal count, and then out. So get your registration in. Thank you.
Thanks, Diane. Sure.
The Saturday night meeting of the Perry Group at the Altamont Club, April the 1st, is celebrating 73 years. And we're going to have our dinner buffet at 6:30. And we're going to have an hour-long AA meeting, which would be Bart and Jesus.
Wow. All right.
And the tickets are $6. Mm-hmm. And it's a limited amount of tickets in the store. I have to.
And they're giving away $300.
The buzz?
Yeah. Well, for you, bud.
I want to remind everybody again, if you want me to send you a copy of the 12 step, please sign up, give me your name, address, and phone number before we go ahead. Thank you.
Hey, you have enough here, Kevin, tonight.
Next week we won't be here.
Oh, I'm going to be there.
The week after that, I will bring some of those too, along with the steps and conditions. Okay.
The speaker by the name of Cheryl N. Monday night. They glad you're here. She's from my interview.
Okay. I'd like to remind everybody to clean up your sobriety stations before you leave. There'd be no reason to help with anything else. I think we've got it all covered. And just a reminder, we are looking for a coffee maker. If Buzz got anybody fired up, we do have an opportunity. We'll finish with the Serenity Prayer.
Look at this. Look at that. Doesn't that look good? It's a mold of bread.
I can't taste it, so I can't eat it.
Hold me, big fella.
It's really cold in here.
It's freezing in here. Didn't you know that?
Yes.
You
know,
come here.
Ours is 10 for us.
Frank is out.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. I guess I'll be watching
that. You're very serious about this. You're very
turn that off, anybody?
What?
I'm afraid to hit that red button.
Off.
There is no
I do mural.
Howard.
I just...
Yeah.